The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord.
We are almost at the end of the liturgical year. Tomorrow is the last day of our current liturgical year C, and on Sunday we will have our new year, where we will usher in the new liturgical year A. And in year C, this liturgical year, we are reading from Luke. The following liturgical year A, we will be focusing on the Gospel of Matthew. So at the end of the liturgical year, we are ushered into the readings of what we call apocalyptic literature. Now, when we say apocalypse, we don't necessarily mean, you know, the foretelling of what's going to happen in the end. There is that element, but apocalyptic literature is one of the many forms of literature in the scripture. As you can see, the Bible has many, many forms of literary genre. You have history, you have poetry, you have narrative, and so on and so forth. And one of those forms is apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic literature is the reading of the history in the light of faith. And so in an apocalyptic literature, there is some review of what happened in the past, review of what's happening in the present, and what's going to happen in the future. And the whole point of an apocalyptic literature is to give hope to the people of God. And so in a lot of ways, an apocalyptic literature is the literature of the oppressed. Those who are oppressed, they look to the apocalypse literature and they are given hope. And we see that in the two readings today. In the first reading, we have this fantastic vision of Daniel. At this point of his writing this, he's already old. He's towards the end of the exile. They were in Babylon. Israel was taken to Babylon and they were there, and he's old and he saw this vision. And the vision is giving him the meaning of what happened in the history of Israel. And so there were four beasts that he saw rising from the sea. Now, in Old Testament, the sea represents the political world. In Revelation, at the very end of the book of Revelation, Revelation will say, "And the sea will be no more." You see, at the end times, when the New Jerusalem comes, there will be no more politics. So in the meantime, there were four beasts that came out of the sea. Now, beasts represent empires or nations. We do that now. We do that now. You know, we represent each country, the powerful ones, with an animal. You know, U.S., the eagle. Russia, bear. So in the old world, it's the same. And so here in the first, it says the first beast that came out was like a lion with eagle's wings. These represent the emblem of Babylon. You know, go to Hollywood and Vine, you know, that mall there, it's designed to mimic Babylon, and you'll see this emblem. You know, it's like a lion with eagle. That's Babylon. And then after that, it says, "Well, I watched the wings were plucked It was raised from the ground to stand on 2 feet. The 2 wings that were plucked were the 2 emperors of Babylon, and they were removed from their throne. The second was like a bear. It was raised on one side. So the bear stands for the Medo-Persian Empire. It's an alliance of Persia and the Medes. Persia is the stronger of the two alliances, and that is why it was raised. That is why it says it was raised on one side. That side is Persia, the stronger allies. And then I looked and saw another beast like a leopard, and its back were 4 wings. Wings stands for swiftness. And this leopard, this beast, stands for the Greek Empire. You know, think of Alexander the Great, who conquered the known world in just a matter of 2 years. That's why he had wings, swift to conquer the world. And then finally, the fourth beast. I saw the fourth beast, different from the others, terrifying, horrible. It had great iron teeth with which it devoured and crushed. This is the Roman Empire. So these are the 4 empires that ruled the earth and made the people of God to suffer. They made the people, and we just have to go and read the scriptures and we see how they suffered in the hands of these great empires. And then towards the end, just hang on to the image. These are beasts that ruled the empire. And finally, in the vision, it says, there is one like a son of man coming from the clouds. No, well, before that, God was seated on a throne, and then one like a son of man coming down from the clouds and was given dominion over all the earth. That's the prophecy of the coming Messiah. The prophecy of the coming Messiah, and dominion was given over to him. Dominion was under all of those successive beasts that came, but they were beasts, and so they acted beastly. Now this one, this next kingdom, is one like a son of man. He looks like us, and so he's tender. Unlike those beastly beasts, this one is the son of man, a part of our race, and so he understands us, and he will rule, and he will vanquish all of those empires. That's where the hope comes. You know, that all of those kingdoms, they might prove formidable when during their time, but someone is yet to come. Of course, Daniel didn't know that this was Jesus Christ that he was talking about. It is hidden until the Lord finally comes. When Jesus was faced before Caiaphas, and Caiaphas asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "You say that I am." And then he continues. He said, "And you will see the Son of Man coming from the clouds and will be given dominion over all the earth." He was quoting this. And that is why Caiaphas was so scandalized that he's appropriating the words of Daniel, the words that the people of God knew to be the promise of the coming Messiah. And yet there he stood, Jesus Christ, appropriating this prophecy to himself. He is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. And so now we spring forward to the gospel. And since a few days before, the Lord is talking about apocalyptic literature as well. You know, he said, you see all of these beautiful stones? Well, not one of these stones will be on top of each other when the time comes. You know, you will be hurled into courts and you will be tried, but do not be afraid. You know, so this is the prophecy of Jesus now. We're talking about the future now. This is the prophecy of Jesus of what will happen to Jerusalem in 70 A.D. In 70 A.D., the Romans leveled Jerusalem. They razed the temple to the ground. The site of the temple that we see whenever we go to Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall, that's the only thing remaining of that temple which the Romans razed. But before that, it was full of horror. Josephus was saying blood flowed in Jerusalem up to knee high, and they were eating each other because there's no food. Horror, horror. And yet, the Lord in all of these reminds his people to hold your head up because the Son of Man is coming. You see, all of the destructions that happened in the past are a type of what's going to happen in the future. It will be horrible. It will shake the foundations of our faith. But the whole point of the readings, of the apocalyptic reading, is have security in the word of the Lord, in the promises of the Lord. That's what he said in the gospel today. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. And so, my friends, we see all of the devastation around us these days. Many of these devastations shake the foundations of our faith. Yesterday, I was having Thanksgiving with friends from Altadena, and my friends and I, we drove around the streets in Altadena, and I saw all of the grounds leveled. Beautiful homes are gone, and there's a few of them rebuilding, but majority is just flat. The homes are all gone, and it must be a horrible thing to experience that. Things like that happen. In our own lives, we have new diagnosis, things that shake our faith in God. But today, we are given the promise, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't. There is nothing to fear, only believe.